Hello again, it's Patrick Kelly, Seaman High School head coach and KWCA president, with another episode of the KWCA podcast. Glenn Gormley will be in Salina on October 6th to help facilitate the 2017 NWCA Scholastic Leadership Academy. Mr. Gormley has deep roots in the sport of wrestling. He competed under the legendary Gray Simons at the University of Tennessee before finishing his collegiate career at William & Mary in 1984, where he completed both his undergrad and graduate studies. He served as an assistant coach at his alma mater for 5 years prior to an almost three-decade career as a restaurateur. He currently represents the National Wrestling Coaches Association as director of the High School CEO Leadership Academy. In recent years, there has been much awareness about the model of coaching that involves far more than the X's and O's, and the sport of wrestling has been on the cutting edge of that movement. You can scarcely listen to a college coach speak today without mention of elements of the total coach. And the NWCA has largely been responsible for pushing and promoting that coaching style, and the masses are responding. The NWCA Scholastic Leadership Academy is part of the effort that the National Wrestling Coaches Association is using to further the movement and educate coaches on how to implement the philosophy. I recently had the opportunity to speak with Mr. Gormley and get his thoughts on the sport and fill us in on what can be expected from the 2017 Scholastic Leadership Academy in Salina. Glenn, welcome to the program.
Good to be on with you, sir, today, Pat.
Tell us how you got involved in wrestling and about your competitive and coaching highlights.
Okay, certainly. I started wrestling when I was in seventh. I went to a small private school in Philly called Penn Charter, and I got involved in wrestling there, and I really enjoyed it. And I managed to go after that to University of Tennessee and then to the College of William & Mary and wrestle. And I coached at William & Mary for 5 years. And we had many highlights. We had one guy make the national semifinals. And one day we actually beat UNC in a dual meet, which was a big deal because they were ranked pretty high in the country. And they came in cocky, but they went home whooped. So that was a pretty fun time for us. That was a big highlight.
Okay, so you spent nearly three decades in the business world. We as coaches often talk about how sport can prepare athletes for the, quote, real world. Was that the case with you when you reflect on your professional career?
Yes, it most definitely is the case with my professional career. My business was right across the street from William & Mary where I coached. So it was very easy for me to find employees. I was in the restaurant business. So, of course, I would hire anyone because I knew he was going to show up, do a good job, and work hard. Okay, so that was very easy. Then, lo and behold, William & Mary drops the wrestling team, so there was no more wrestlers there to hire. So that did become a problem for my business. And I could definitely tell you that once you wrestle, everything else in life is easy. You know, the old Gable quote. And it really helped my career being a wrestler. You know, I became a stubborn person from the get-go and worked hard and said, I'm going to work harder than everybody else in my business area. And it really kept me going for many years. So, yeah, I think my wrestling lineage really helped me out in the business world. I think it's indispensable.
The idea of a head coach's main role being to strap up the headgear and mix it up with the guys is an antiquated concept. If you were to present a pie chart with the 4 to 5 most important aspects of being a head coach and assign percentages to those categories, where would those numbers fall?
Okay, there's 5 things. If I was the head coach right now, I agree with you that that's, you know, you're living in the 80s when I coach, if you think that's the way the head coach does it. I would think the most important thing now is the coach actually asking the team, you know, how do you feel? What's going on? You know, because you don't want to burn the kids out at all. So you really have to be asking a lot of questions. That would be my biggest thing. My next 2 things would be recruiting and fundraising. Okay, the world is the way it is, and every wrestling program is strapped for cash. And it's going to be that way through my lifetime at least. So I think you need to go out and raise some funds and whatever ideas you have and just, you know, just be a wrestler about it and just keep going hard and raising the fund. The other things would be recruitment. Clearly it's different if you're in college or in high school. You know, but in the college recruiting world, it's a way for a kid to get to college. So, you know, that's one big thing. And it's not a sport where there's a lot of scholarships involved. So the way I'm looking at it now, the college situation, a high school kid, find a school that you'll enjoy and the coach that you'll enjoy and go there. because you might get financial aid, but you're probably not getting a scholarship, you know, because it's just the way the wrestling world is. Now, of course, recruiting in high school, you know, you want to walk around and find the kids to look like wrestlers and see if you can get them out for the team and, you know, make the sport a little bit more fun than the antiquated ways it was in the 80s. After that, I would think, you know, you're talking conditioning and technique are the next two biggest things. But I agree with you, like strapping a headgear on for a head coach is way down the list now. I agree with that.
The state of the sport of wrestling seems to be scattered and one could even say contradictory. At the same time that we are experiencing unprecedented success on the world stage at all levels in freestyle and generally more than accustomed to in female and Greco-Roman wrestling, numbers are decreasing in participation at the high school level. Less than full lineups are the standard in duels. We have a graying fan base, continued threats of college programs being dropped, especially at the Division I level, and confusing rules are being introduced each year. What are we getting right, and what areas do we need most to improve on to capitalize on the success that we are having?
Okay, it's an interesting question. You know, of course, we all want to win gold medals and stuff like that. That's great. I really think that's irrelevant to how many people wrestle in high school. You know, because the average kid in high school is not going to win a gold medal, obviously. You know, that just, you know, just doesn't happen. So I think one of the things we have to realize as a sport, especially my generation, is we need to grow wrestling and primarily women's wrestling. If we ignore women's wrestling, we really are running the risk of dying out as a sport. Okay, 50% of women in this world are people in this world are women. Why ignore them? Okay, there's only two sports left that ignore women, football and wrestling. Okay, now football, of course, is the 800-pound gorilla. So we need to go out and recruit as many women as we can. We've seen great strides in that. Sally Roberts with the Wrestle Like a Girl has done a phenomenal job. So that's really, I think, what everybody needs to realize is we could do this. Now, you know, I'm talking to you, Pat. You're in Kansas. Kansas is a sparsely populated state. Okay, there's 14 weight classes in the sport. A lot of the schools can't fill 14 weight classes because the enrollment's too small. So if we would have like a 10 weight class that is man versus man, boy versus boy, whatever you want to call it, and four that are girl versus girl, okay, that could be the 14 weight classes. That way we wouldn't have forfeits. Like, you know, some of these schools in Kansas have less than 100 kids per grade. Okay, it's going to be hard to find 14 boys that all weigh the proper weights, you know, that you can fill a team. So that would be my idea on the women's end of it. I think it's essential. The next problem is, of course, I addressed the forfeits on that, but the weight loss is really something that's still in our sport that's been there since I started wrestling in the early 70s. I don't know how we try to get away from that, Pat. I've been in business for so long now that I'm not kind of locked into the whole, this is the way we did it when I was a kid thing. Now, I don't know enough about it, how to do it right now to change things, but I think the sport needs to look into eliminating things that really make the sport miserable, and nothing makes it more miserable than the weight loss thing. That's by far, in my mind at least, the biggest hurdle we have to overcome. And you try to eliminate, you know, look at this as a businessman. I'm always trying to eliminate barriers, you know, and so more people can come to my business and stuff. So I think if we could try to eliminate in some way the weight loss problem, I think that could really help the sport. Why is it a graying population in the sport? Pat, you know, that's a very good question. I think that one's one where, you know, I'm just starting back in the wrestling business after so many decades in an entrepreneurial business. That's something that's concerned me for a while. I don't know if it's a point where we have so many different sports now, X Games, et cetera. Where we're losing interest in all sports. I don't know if it's the changing demographics in America. I did a stats research thing on that recently, and in 2017, I'm not getting political here, I'm just stating what it is. In 2017, we have more Hispanic immigrants than we have European immigrants. So we need to figure out some way for wrestling to say to the Hispanics, We tend not to wrestle as much as the European immigrants do. We need to somehow introduce this sport to the Hispanic immigrants. They're here. Let's welcome them to the wrestling mat. So I'm really anxious to hear from some of the Kansas high school coaches and say, you know, give me your input on this, guys. Because I think sometimes when you come from the outside, you have so much less to unlearn. Okay, if I was in the sport for all these the last 27 years instead of being in business, I would have to unlearn everything to make a change. Now I'm coming in there like kind of with a clean slate saying, tell me what they do now. How can we change this? I know as a coach, I look back on it, and I definitely concentrated too much on somebody making weight every match for a ridiculous, meaningless tournament that it didn't matter whether that kid wrestled 118 or 126. Why go through all this hassle? Make the kids happier. And then, of course, for the qualifying tournaments, you got to make weight. But I think as a sport, we need to figure out the best way to do this. So I'm looking forward to all the eight states I'm going to this fall to get some answers for that. So in my business, I had this expression. I forget where I got it from. But it was the 80-20 rule that a lot of businesses just occupy 80% of their time concentrating on where 20% of your revenue comes from, where it should be the opposite. You know, you should be spending all the time on where all your revenue comes from. So for some reason, we seem to be not addressing the biggest problems we have as a sport. Okay, at least, I mean, I'm not saying that for sure. I'm just saying what I've seen so far in 6-7 weeks. So perhaps, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm totally wrong. But I think we need to, just like a lot of businesses, concentrate on so much superfluous nonsense instead of like, where's the money coming in? Where's it going out? Like, let's concentrate on that. Why are the kids joining the sport? Why are they leaving the sport? And if the kids are leaving the sport because of the weight problem and they're not joining it because 50% of the people are girls, then we need to address both of those issues. Yeah, I think we admire the problems too much and we say like, you know, this is the way, you know, we did it when I was a kid. And I mean, you look at football, whether it be NFL, college, or high school now, or youth, okay, there's a head injury problem, okay? There's no way we can say there isn't, okay, in football. And it's a dangerous sport played by big, fast men, okay? But I have a lot of friends who say, well, we can't change it. That's the way football's always been. Well, if we don't change it pretty soon, football's not going to have enough competitors. You know, because people are going to realize, hey, these head injuries are for real. You know, so I think that the wrestling world needs to look at it like I believe the football world needs to look at it and say, the football world, and I don't have the answers for you by any means, needs to address the head injury issue. And we need to address the women and the weight loss issue.
As coaches, what can we do to better accommodate, involve, and nurture our athletes on the left side of the wrestling success bell curve? Ultimately, we want to hook all of our athletes and hope they remain lifelong wrestling enthusiasts. What are some keys to making that happen, especially for those that are getting their hand raised less often?
Sure. What we tried to do when I was coaching at William & Mary, I was the assistant coach, and the head coach, Billy Pickus, who turned out to be a great coach, the greatest coach William & Mary's ever had by far. But what he would do with that is he would always, in the first couple tournaments, sit in the corner with the freshman or the upperclassman that was not as skilled, okay? So in other words, the kids with the less skills saw the head coach with them. So I got to look like a hero. I got to sit with all the studs and look like it was me that was doing it, right? Okay, so it made me look good. Okay, so but that was one of the things that he did that I've always remembered. And then we also pushed for, there's 10 weight class, of course, in college. A lot of tournaments, you wanted 20 competitors. In other words, two kids in each weight class in school. Okay, so that was the one thing that we did to try to get it more in the college situation. How do we do this on the high school level? I think we need to look at this thing and say, everybody is important. Okay, clearly in wrestling, 10 guys are in high school, 14 guys start, and you can't substitute. Where in football, hey, the only thing I do is hold for the field goals, and we won a game by a field goal today, I'm important. You know, so it's different in wrestling, but whatever the coaches can do to encourage the backup, so to speak, or the less skilled people to stay with the sport, the better. Because it is a grueling sport, mentally, physically, weight loss, and mostly the whole thing. Whatever we can do to help keep the kids there, the better.
What is your elevator speech for what attendees can expect to gain from the Scholastic Leadership Academy in Salina next Friday?
Sure. My elevator speech would be, we can teach you how to be a better coach off the mat. Okay, you probably already know your technique and your skill set and your conditioning stuff on the mat. We can teach you off the mat, fundraising, asking questions, play wrestling, not just wrestle hard line, but having fun with it, and make the kid's life better, because once you've wrestled, everything in life else in life is easier. So that's my elevator speech, just to say, we're teaching you about off the mat.
Mr. Gormley, thanks for taking the time to visit with us today. See you in Salina.
Yes, my pleasure. I look forward to coming to Kansas myself. I'd love to see the little Salina. Thank you so much.
This has been KWCA President Patrick Kelly reminding you to get your registration in for the 2017 Fritz Knorr Fall Clinic. Until next time, thanks for listening.